This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9. The game coming up, our daily download, as the Hawks played last night. They come up short. It was a good game. They could have easily pulled this one out, as they did against Memphis. Weren't able to do it. We'll let you hear what Trae Young said and how he took responsibility for the L last night. Tomorrow, they'll take on the Pacers. And also, you know, we were talking about all these moves around the NFL, and it's interesting because some guys are saying to us via social media, and you can find us, Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, see Dukes, and the radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. But some guys are saying, you know, give Terry time. Listen, he's got all the time he needs. All we're telling you is that all of this stuff has been already being has been worked on. If you don't think the capologists in the building have been working to try to figure out who they need to restructure, release, etc., guys, all these teams have people in the building, Mike. So it's not as if, you know, this is some kind of a test now all of a sudden with a few days left. They knew going in what this was going to look like. And all the proper people who deal with this stuff, right? Ryan Pace, the assistant general manager, they all know. They're dealing with it. But it's a matter of the announcement of here's what's happening. Here's what we're moving on from. Well, so that's what we're waiting on.
And you've been asking, like, where's the beef, man?
Where's it at?
Well, I mean, I just think they're going to have to make some cuts. And there may be some cuts the fan base may not be happy about. I don't know, just my two cents worth. I mean, you're not hearing anything about us just yet. Granted, if Scott Pioli was in the building, somebody would have leaked it. We would have gotten it to the NFL Network by now. But, no, we don't have anything right now on what we may or may not be doing. But we do know this. We've got to create some cap space. There's guys that we covet that we certainly would love to have. You could create some cap space by moving some of that money around with, Chris Lindstrom, A.J. Terrell, and Jesse Bates. You and I have already covered that one, and you can create some space. What are their intentions? You know, I mean, I know we've got a lot of things we need to get. Maybe they do believe what, and if you believe what Terry said, I should say what Raheem Morris said at the combine, that they really do have high hopes for these defensive players that have yet to establish themselves because either of injury or in case of Ruka Ro, Braylon Trice, Brandon Dorlus. Ebikadi, they always have been an Ebikadi getting better, and he has been, you know, he's been a solid piece as a second round pick.
Yeah. Here's another example. Dolphins and edge rusher Bradley Chubb have agreed to revise their contract that keeps him in Miami for 2025. This is what we're talking about. This is another one. So these are the things that we're kind of just waiting on for the Falcons, and we're going to see how it shakes out. Tomorrow could be a day of news drops. Who knows? Friday, we'll see. But that's what we're monitoring right now. Let's get to the daily download.
Story number one.
You know, we started out today talking about closers. I'm not talking about baseball. I'm talking about basketball. And how many closers do the Hawks have currently right now, Mike? One. It's Trae Young, right? And if you blitz him and you run guys at him and you say, get the ball out of Trae's hands, he's got to trust that his teammates are going to get it done. The other night, it was a steal and a fast break opportunity that allowed Caris LeVert to end the basketball game. If you're in a set situation, Mike, in a half court,
right,
who can I go to? That other guy was Jalen Johnson, but he's not out there right now.
No, there's just not reliable pieces for Trae. I mean, consistently night and night. And again, you're going to hear the conversation with Zachary Risacher coming up, and he is still learning his way. But as we said, no one's complaining about his game. He's been really solid, but there's going to be off nights. Last night, unfortunately, it was a tough night for him shooting. You know, Dyson Daniels, you know, he was okay. He didn't. We used to see him getting five steals. Only had two last night. The thing that, and I said this to Carl before the show today, Caris LeVert is a guy that I want to keep around off the bench, but they're going to have to sign him because he is a free agent. You took an expiring contract when you made the trade for Caris LeVert.
You did, and he's played really well. Giannis, by the way, 26 points, 12 boards, 10 assists. That's a triple-double. Trae had 28 and 13, but he did not like the way that he finished the game. Remember, this game is tied. If you didn't see it, 121-21. And then they score the last six buckets, or 6 points, should I say, and they win 127-121. Here's Trae Young.
Tonight's game is not anybody but me. I got to make some more shots late in the game, and I got some looks, and can't depend on the ref to do their job. So I gotta be better, and I will be.
And he missed a floater at the end. He says he should have made. So, like, there are things that, you know, again, you go, all right, I get Trae taking responsibility for this, but the other part of it is, we just need more reliable closers. That's the difference between us right now, Mike, and some of these other teams that are in front of us.
And here's the thing. When you got a high percentage shot, make it.
True.
A great factoid from D. Lee 43. I love it. That's his tag. Also known as hashtag In Snyder We Trust. So I guess he's a Quinn Snyder fan. He had some factoids earlier today on social media. Hawks are leaving a ton of points on the board in close games. Listen to this, Carl. Since January 25th, the Hawks have shot 56.6 on what's perceived as layups. Since the Knicks game back on the 12th of February, we have shot 52.8 on layups. Now, look, we all know that Clint struggles with the bunnies and the putbacks.
Yes, he does.
But Trae has missed. Risacher has missed. We've got to get better. I mean, those are the high percentage shots you can't miss. I mean, damn, son. John Wooden, let's get the layup drill going.
It has been a problem. No doubt about it. Hawks and Pacers tomorrow, and we'll see how they bounce back. That was a back-to-back situation, Memphis, and then last night. But again, right there with a chance to win and weren't able to do it. Let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
Mike, 50,000 points. LeBron and the Lakers, they beat the Pelicans last night, and all of a sudden, they're on a roll, man. And whether you respect this or not, again, this is playoffs and regular season. Nobody scored more points than LeBron James. This is how it sounded when he hit the milestone.
LeBron, open three. Seasons, 40 years of age, LeBron James, 50,002 points.
Crowd is still buzzing after LeBron made a routine three-pointer to go over the 50,000 mark.
Now, obviously, LeBron is going to take this accomplishment modestly.
Of course he is, Mike. I mean, come on. He's done a lot in his career. There's no reason to gloat.
I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. It's a hell of a lot of points. And I'm super blessed to be able to put that many points up in the best league in the world, with the best players in the world over my career. So it's pretty special.
Right on. And it is. We're being tongue-in-cheek for those who don't play tongue-in-cheek. It's akin to when Ricky Henderson set the single all-time stolen base record.
I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. It's a hell of a lot of points.
I mean, you literally got Lou Brock is standing like 5 feet away, and Ricky takes the base over and said, I am now the greatest of all time. So, look, LeBron has earned it. Great shooting night for him and for Luka. By the way, Carl, by the way, a tremendous accomplishment to see LeBron hit 50,000 points. And I just very disappointed, though, he did not get to eat the great American cookie that I ordered.
You ordered him a cookie?
Why are you laughing? It said, happy 50K to Chosen One.
Oh!
What? Why? This is not for rim shot. I'm telling you what I did. Cookie Puss apparently never made it to locker room. To play. Again, this is jokes for you. Drake the American cookie.
You had a good game, though. I did. You had 30 points and 15 assists.
And then I ate all the frosting off the cookie. I felt I earned it.
Luka's coming into his own. By the way, Lakers, I'm being real right now. They've won 17 of their last 20.
They're on fire. And the Mavericks, wow. Basically the Mavericks have got people leaving their stadium, their arena, as if like there was, you know, like an outbreak of some kind of contagion, the way things went down after Kyrie hit the deck. So, yeah, man, look, this is where, in all seriousness, and the fact that, you know, you almost wish they could have consummated that trade with Charlotte. Imagine they had a little more size in the front court.
But I'd really,
is still where you got Luka, and he's like, yes, he's heard all the criticism. He gets it. But, man, these two guys in concert, I mean, they can beat Joker. The question you bring up, and it's a great point, how does this young, you know, SGA in Oklahoma City handle a man going up against Luka and LeBron? And imagine that in the conference finals. If it's chalk and it winds up with 1-2.
2-7-game series, it's going to be bananas. By the way, has he lost any weight to you guys? Just out of curiosity. Luka, I'm not asking you. I'm asking... Does he look a little bit smaller or skinnier to you guys?
There are pictures out there of side-by-sides from when he first joined the Lakers till now.
Yeah.
He looks a little thinner.
See?
Might be the angles, if you know being what? Honest.
Yes, by the way, I got more chins than Chinese phone book. Ha, ha, ha. Let me tell you this. That was a joke. No, I have been doing Jenny Craig.
Oh, really?
Yes.
At Ozempic?
No, please. See, that's a cop-out. You got to earn it. Plus, they drug test for Ozempic. It will spike.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. All right. So how's it going?
Yeah, for good. I'm counting calories. And, again, I've got lots of salads for me. You know what I like to put on my salads?
What's that?
T-bones. You have to have iron. Very long season.
The biggest problem for Luka is going to be not drinking his calories, because that's a big no-no.
That's true. I mean, when he was at a hookah bar, I mean, for me, you got that 1, 2, 3 six-packs. That's how I play.
We'll see what this does as we continue to move along. Lakers, but congratulations to LeBron. 50,000 points. A lot of points, man. Let's get to story number 3.
Story number 3.
Okay, Mike. Are they on the bubble? Are they going to get in? Georgia beat South Carolina last night. You put together 2 impressive wins now. I want you to hear Mike White before you answer that question because...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What are the Dawgs' chances now to get to the dance?
We just can't worry about that stuff. We're appreciative that you get positive accolades and attention, and our guys have earned that with their play, you know, and their resilience and their growth as individuals and their growth collectively, you know, with their connection. And, you know, you beat number 3 and you go on the road and get 2 straight quad ones. We've done some good things.
No doubt. I mean, beating Florida was huge. That's certainly going to be a resume builder. Joe Lunardi, for what it's worth in bracketology, he literally has Georgia right on the bubble, right on that thin line. Texas is actually looking up at Georgia, Carl, as far as their chances for March Madness. The question's going to be, and this is where we get into this, you know, it's not just in football, but in basketball. Would like a 17 or 18 win Ohio State team take a spot from a Georgia That's the kind of the concern. Not that they deserve it, but Georgia is, you know, is still, you know, having a decent season by Georgia standards, but it's the losses. And, you know, we got another soundbite from Coach where he takes umbrage with some guys who felt people are too negative about the program.
But it's not like we lost nine games. I want to say we were the underdog in maybe all nine, you know, so we're thankful we won the other two. I mean, it's the best league in the history of college basketball. So it's not, you know, when you're hearing what's wrong with Georgia, and I tried to tell our guys that in different words and in different ways, you know, the negative noise, it doesn't, let's just keep getting better. A lot of teams would have lost to the team we just lost to. You know, let's get better today. Let's focus on the next one.
No, look, I get it. We've been wanting to talk positively about Georgia basketball for years. And this guy was brought in here not to, you know, sit here and have to, you know, basically bite your fingernails and hope that the NCAA gets you in the tournament. But, Carl, it's the way that they lost. I mean, some games where they blew leads at home or on the road, some games where they just got completely blown out. And then you get into, you know, some big wins. Yes, beating Kentucky is big. Beating that Florida is big. You know, it just, to me, there was just some tough ones that were really hard to wrap your head around this year with, and not managing leads, blowing leads, basically, not having the poise. Maybe they've turned the corner.
Yeah, look, I think for dog fans, though, here's what a lot of people are saying, or at least looking at. This is the same guy that left Florida, and Florida seems to be head and shoulders above where Georgia is. So whatever secret sauce he had going on down there, why hasn't that translated to the Georgia team? And I get it. He's right. This particular year, and we've been saying this, guys, Auburn, Florida, Bama, Tennessee, Mizzou, A&M beat Auburn last night, Ole Miss, Kentucky, all these teams are getting in the tournament. It's going to be unprecedented. Vandy is really good. So, I mean, I understand what Coach is saying, but that's like I think people see that and they go, wait a minute, why is Florida so damn good? And you're the guy that came from Florida, and we were supposed to be on par right with those guys. Like, that's what I think people are seeing.
Well, he missed the tournament two of his last 3 years in Florida. And, you know, and aside from going to the Elite Eight in his second year, you know, he's just basically getting knocked out in that first round.
Yeah.
So,
and I think Mike White knows what he's doing. Don't get me wrong here. I think he can coach. There's no debating that. I've seen enough of him. But I just think, like, that's kind of the sentiment. It's not that, you know, again, Auburn is not head and shoulders above where Georgia is. And, you know, but they've shown this. Alabama, Tennessee, in these games, that right, those are the games where they haven't been favored. But also, Mike, you still have to play better than what they've played to make the committee say, you know what?
Right.
They were in those games well enough that we feel like they're going to be able to get in.
And I misspoke. He never got past the round of 32. He's getting out of the first round in Florida, but that was it. So some would say, you know, taking the job in Athens is a lateral move and kind of getting out of Gainesville ahead of the Gator posse, who was looking for better results, which they are now getting.
They're getting.
So, look, all I'm saying, like, I understand he's sticking up for his guys, but when you blow like double-digit leads and sometimes you just get outclassed at times, and again, we get the competition has just been so unbelievable this year in the SEC, just make the tournament, man. Now, here's the thing. Don't blow it against Vandy, right? You get a nice win over South Carolina, finish strong, and then win a couple of games in the SEC tournament.
Well,
and then you're locked in.
Yeah, you get to 20 wins, and again, Vandy already there, 20 wins. Miss State, 20, 20, 20. All these other teams, 21 or more. Then you get to Auburn, who has 27. If you get to 20 wins, Mike, and we're talking about Georgia basketball, and then you do something in the tournament, we're talking about the SEC tournament, I think they're going to be okay. But then you're talking about 8-9 teams getting in?
Well, that's just it. How much pushback is there going to be from members on that committee? And as we said, you got right now Joe Lunardi. And by the way, Auburn loses last night. How about that? Lost to Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And by the way, hats off to Buzz for wearing a suit. Put coaches back in suits. Hashtag return suits. But anyway, yeah, they got real physical, man. They were really getting after it. First team out right now is Oklahoma. Last team in for Joe Lunardi is Boise State. And again, he said it's really about can you be that many games under 500 in your conference and still make it. West Virginia was able to do it, 19-15, 7-11 in the Big 12. So the idea is, what's the line of demarcation? How many losses under 500? Or do you say, as Carl, maybe the committee will. SEC's just that good that a 21 Georgia deserves to be in.
SEC wins the national championship this year. Don't know what team, but they win the national championship. Coming up, our conversation with Zachary Richaché next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Zachary Richaché, the number one overall pick in the NBA for our Atlanta Hawks this season. And Zachary, it's good to have you back on the show, man. First and foremost, you know, we were talking to Coach Snyder about you, and he was saying, you know, everything's pointing up, man, and he feels like you feel more comfortable. You feel more comfortable? You feel like you're coming into your own right now?
Hey, how you doing? Yes, I'm feeling more comfortable. I feel like Every game, it's you know, a new opportunity to learn, and yeah, just game after game, I'm trying to learn every time I step on the court, and it's just a great feeling to be out there every night competing with my teammates.
Tout d'abord, excellent travail cette saison, mon ami.
Good French.
Thanks, man. Two years of high school. I got to bust it out sometime, Zachary. No, we were just saying, man, to lead all the scorers the other night. Every night, every shooter, sometimes you feel it, you don't feel it, but you feel you're getting more comfortable with your shot in the NBA?
Yeah. I mean, it's just about, like, repetition. I'm working out every day, make sure, you know, I do the right thing. About my shooting form and to get the right rhythm too. So yeah, I just feel like yeah, every night it can be can be great. And I feel like we've been playing great too. And like I say, it's just getting the right rhythm. It's work also for my shooting.
Zachary Richache joining us here on the show. Hawks take on the Pacers. Ironically, it's 92.9 The Game night on Thursday night. We invite you guys to come down as our personalities will take over all the in-game stuff and be a part of what's going on inside the arena. Zachary, what's been the biggest adjustment for you in the NBA, man? Is it the travel? Is it just the level of play? What's been the biggest adjustment for you?
I probably say like yeah, the travel. It's been crazy. to be honest, I wasn't used to travels. You know, we play a lot too. We have a crazy schedule. Mm. So yeah, it's just different. Mm. It's just different. We playing back to back. Yeah, I feel like that was the biggest adjustment for me.
Yeah, every time we talk to guys, whether it's soccer players or football players or basketball, America is a big country. That's a lot of travel. Zachary Richache is with us here, guys, on Dukes and Bell. The relationship with Trey, how are you getting along with Trey and the guys?
It's great. Trey was the first one that I met because he invited me to, in September, he invited me to join him, OKC for like a weekend with Dyson, and I had a really good time over there, and since day one, we started to get to know each other, and it's been great to play with him, and I feel like I also have like great teammates, everybody. Everybody has confidence in me, and I feel like we've been playing great, and I'm feeling really good about my teammates on and off the court. They're great guys.
That's good to hear. Zachary, how's your physical development, man? I mean, look, you talked about the grind of the travel. I mean, the eating, the working out. I mean, how's your body feel at this point in the season with just, 20-some-odd games left in the year?
I would say I'm tired, but I'm getting used to this feeling. So yeah. That's how I feel like the biggest part is to deal with the the fatigue and still be able to work hard every day, and the big deal is to be ready to play, you just gotta manage this aspect, and I feel like I'm feeling better every day. I'm getting more comfortable, so it's cool.
We're talking with Zachary Richache, our rookie, our first-round draft pick with the Hawks here on Dukes and Bell. The other night in Memphis, I was hoping Coach Snyder would say, keep shooting, because you were on fire. How's your relationship with Coach Snyder, and what is he telling you?
We have a great relationship. I feel like he has a lot of confidence in me, and as a shooter, as a young player, as a rookie, it's great. It's great to know that I'm really grateful. You know, and it keeps helping me a lot on my game. I can always ask him different type of questions. So yeah, it's like a free relationship where everybody can can speak to each other, and I'm great to have him as my coach, because it's been a great year for me, and I hope it's gonna get better.
Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month, Zachary Richache, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game for the month of February. Zach, what about the new guys, man? LeVert, Niang, Terrence Mann. These guys come in and they have really turned it on. They've really helped the squad. You know, nobody wants to see anybody traded, but when DeAndre Hunter left, a lot of Hawks fans were like, what's this going to look like? Talk about those guys, if you would, just a little.
I would say we really, like, lucky to have them. They contribute a lot to our team. They play hard. They play the right way. And off the court, they're great guys too. So yeah, we're really lucky to have them. It's been I said before, it was before the deadline was kind of crazy. Nobody knew nothing, and just to be able to know, bounce back and see like the progress that we had, it's great.
Zachary Richache with us on the WaitForIt.com hotline. You're going to be 20 next month, so you're still a really young guy. You're a rookie. How cool has it been to meet some of the guys that you grew up idolizing, some of your favorite players? Who are some of the guys you got to meet so far in the NBA that you grew up watching?
Like you say, I'm really young, and just being able to compete with some of like the best players in the world that I used to watch when growing up, it's such a great feeling. I feel really lucky, and I think like I can learn even more now that I'm on the court with them, And I'm just super grateful for that.
Zachary, you know Alex Saar, right, pretty well? I mean, you guys played against each other over there in France?
I know him a lot. We was on the same national team, in the youth category for, like, 3 summers in a row. We had a good time. He's a great guy, great teammate also. So, yeah, I know him pretty well, and, I'm happy for him too.
Yeah, I was just curious, like, if you call him and, like, look, I'm having a better season than you. I didn't know if you just bust his chops a little bit since right. You guys go way back. Man, we wish you nothing but success. We're enjoying watching you continue to grow. By the way, as Mike mentioned, April 8th is his birthday, so I'm sure you guys will be celebrating. And hopefully we can do something in the playoffs, man. Zachary, thanks for joining us, man, and good luck on Thursday night against the Pacers.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
As we mentioned, Carl brought it up, man, the Eastern Conference Offensive Rookie of the Month. The guy is just getting better and better, and it's a fun story. And as we said to start the interview, it's obviously English is not his first language, but he's getting better and better, and he's been certainly a very likable piece. The vibe with all the players, we talked about how Trey kind of took him under his wing from the jump, taking him to football games and stuff, was kind of cool. And then, as Quinn had said, just let him shoot, let these guys shoot. And yeah, last night was not a great shooting night for him, unfortunately, but the other night he was on fire. I mean, he could not miss. 71% from three, was just raking it. So hopefully that'll continue, and he'll get more opportunities down the stretch. And the good news is when Jalen Johnson's back on the floor, and we got Caris LeVert, big decision to make. I asked Carl earlier. You've got an expiring contract in Caris LeVert. We were joking around about Gerald LeVert, Casanova, and this dude's been the man. And, you saw some unbelievable athleticism. He had 21 points last night. And, getting to the basket after the Dyson Daniels steal in the win up there in against Memphis. So now the question is, that's the kind of depth and the kind of bodies you really want on this team. Are we going to find a way to, you know, afford to keep in a Caris LeVert, adding with the money we're going to have in cap space to bring in some more athleticism. I don't know if they look at it at the front court or another polished defender. Either way, when Jalen's on the floor, you can't cry for spilt milk. DeAndre is gone. You wouldn't have Caris without the trade. But there are some things that are working for this team. Unfortunately, the Hawks just kind of find themselves. Everybody in that 7 to 10 range is under 500 in the Eastern Conference. Everybody in the 7 to 10 range is over 500 in the West. So somebody in this middling field is going to step up. I think it just means Trey's going to have to do what he did the last couple of years. Trey fireworks. You know, just go bananas and hopefully, you know, you get the more favorable advantageous matchup of being like that 7 seed. A reminder, guys, we'll be down there, man. It is a 92.9 The Game night. If you got tickets for the Pacers, if not, get some. We'll have some cool stuff. Can Chris outthrow Abe at a t-shirt throwing contest in his, in his weakened state? Also, guys, Andy Randy, I believe, are going to be hanging out with the sixth man. Going to be a lot of fun, man, with 92.9 taking over at State Farm. We come back. Some big news in the NFL today. A lot of guys are getting paid. A lot of guys are getting retained by their teams. We'll tell you all about it. And as Carl says, none of the Falcons doing anything.
Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, John Fricke's got you at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow, we're at State Farm Arena for 92.9 The Game night. But, Mike, you mentioned all these stories that we've been watching today kind of play out in the National Football League. And, again, this is all stuff that's going to happen. None of it becomes official until the league year, but we get wind of it, and reports and stories get reported, Mike, and so you just get a feel for where this is going with all the news that'll be breaking over the next, you know, 4 or 5 days leading up to the start of free agency. I think, was it Wednesday or Tuesday? The 12th is Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm trying to think, next week. Either way, when we get
on a Wednesday.
Yeah. Okay, when we get there next Wednesday, we're going to know a lot of stuff already. A lot of this is already going to be reported and deals. It's just about them becoming official. But today, what things stood out to you as we got a lot of news today?
I mean, first off, you know, the Eagles trying to, you know, they keep their linebacker Baum, who they got from an approved deal, came over from the Saints, and then got a nice contract extension. We'll go through all the big ones in a minute. But the one that I thought was, can they fix it? Because they, to me, like, the window for the Cowboys is always like closing slowly and slowly.
Feels that way.
Uncompelling hire with Schottenheimer. But one thing for certain, the Cowboys creating all that cap space, you know, $50 million in cap space between restructuring CeeDee Lamb and then Dak Prescott. Now, the good news, bad news is Dak Prescott ever going to win a big playoff game in the next 5 years? Now, knowing he's going to be locked in, kind of like how we were locked in with Matt Ryan down the stretch, because he was the only guy you could really use as a vessel to get you out of cap hell.
Yeah, and look, when you only have a few options, because those, you're going to take your big money guys and try to stretch them, is what you're basically trying to do. And, Mike, in the meantime, you just say, hey, I hope we get better by signing the guys that we're going to use this money for, but I also don't need the guys that we're stretching to fall off. And that becomes the danger in all of this, where you say, all right, we're going to extend our relationship with X player, like you're talking about with Dak. That's what the Cowboys are thinking of. And by the way, Dak may have another 10 years. They hope he does. But when you sign these deals, and I think his deal was 4 years, you know, he's ultimately going to get all of his money. But you're saying, all right, we're going to kick this can down the road. You just hope the guys you signed can help.
And I said $50 million. His cap number goes down to $53.29 million by restructuring it in the form of a bonus. But they created $36.6 million between him and CeeDee Lamb. So you already talked about they re-signed their defensive tackle. They got to go get Micah Parsons at some point done. But and now they've got to start, you know, replacing some offensive line pieces. So very, very curious to see. And they need to probably draft a running back if they don't get one in free agency. I think they just draft one. But, you know, I mean, it's amazing. The Cowboys haven't been to a Super Bowl since 95.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And so anyway, but they were considered in cap hell, and now they got some breathing room.
Well, and this is why, even though we are $5 million, it's not a big deal. We can create it. We can get there as well, depending on how you want to maneuver this. And this is something we've been talking about today. So that is what I'm waiting on and have been all day, and it just hasn't happened yet. Maybe it is happening as we speak, and those announcements will be coming. Meanwhile, Max Crosby gets his deal. Raiders aren't good. Are you surprised he's not pulling a Miles Garrett here, Mike, where he's like, look, I get it. Pete Carroll, I respect what you've done, but the team, you just look around. You don't have a quarterback. You don't have a star wide receiver. Yes, you got a hell of a tight end in Brock Bowers,
But outside of me on defense, what are we talking about?
Well, the Vegas paper says he really likes Pete Carroll. He got re-energized by Pete Carroll.
He does that to people.
Guys love playing for him. And there was some talk that Brady did a little bit of arm twisting. Like, the owner did say he was never going to let him get traded or let him go. So, look, Crosby's being loyal. He was a fourth-round pick, and that's one of the ones that Mike Mayock got right where he was picking with John Gruden back in the day. But, yeah, he's decided, yeah, he's going to see it through. And then the most compelling storyline you and I were talking about earlier is, imagine, you know, depending on if Sam Darnold, there were rumors earlier today, Sporting News had it's SI2, that the Tennessee Titans were going to come up with like a 3-year deal for Sam Darnold, which it was about the numbers you were talking about, right? $35 million and change?
3 years, up to $135 million.
Okay, it's more than that.
So with incentives, $90 right. million guaranteed, but okay. It would be $42 million per if the Titans,
right, which is
the kind of deal.
Still less than what Kirk's number is for us with the Falcons, wherever he's going to wind up. But yeah, so there was a story that, yeah, the Titans would make that play, which then pushes Abdul Carter. You know, I mean, they can do whatever they want. They can get him. They can go get Travis Hunter. But that means, you know, now who's going to go get Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward?
Sure.
And would you find a way, if you're the Raiders, and, you know, yes, it's been well publicized. It's great that he has a relationship with Tom Brady. He's still got to find a way to get him there, unless the Raiders maybe move up to maybe get Shedeur Sanders.
They are sitting at 6. They could easily potentially do that. Crosby, by the way, 3 years, $106 million extension. It includes $91 million in guarantees. So that's what we're talking about, Crosby. And I will say this. He's one of the reasons you would go watch a Raider game. I mean,
right.
they just don't have a lot of star power with what they're putting on the field outside of Brock Bowers. And again, what's the delivery system? But Brock Bowers is so good, it seems like it doesn't matter. I could throw him the ball. He's going to catch 100 balls in a season.
Sam Harper's only 29, but he said he's had enough. He is leaving the Bengals. He's stepping down. He's retiring. And now if Trey Hendrickson doesn't get signed, there's two big pieces on that defense. Now, granted, the defense was terrible last year, but it's even been worse without those guys on the squad. And if they do keep T. Higgins, whether it's franchise tag, along with a huge contract for Ja'Marr Chase, as you pointed out earlier, you're basically doing the same thing the Dolphins have done. That's not a winning formula. Spend all that money on two receivers.
No. I don't think this is the way, you know, to quote The Mandalorian, this is not the way. And when you start saying we're going to pay two guys over $30 million at that position, I just don't think, and unless you're constructed like the Eagles, Mike, you're not going to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
And so, but we're seeing that with various teams, and teams are having to make these decisions. It looks good, and I know offense sells tickets, but you're right. Like, the Bengals are a prime example of this. I don't know how they're stopping other teams, regardless if they spent all of their picks on defense or not. You just lost, or potentially are about to lose, two key cogs in that defense. So, and they weren't that good last year. So,
right.
You know, it's one of those situations where Hubbard retiring and the Trey Hendrickson thing. Hendrickson, by the way, he would be, if we were, let's just say we had him on our team, he would be the best pass rusher we've had here in a decade.
Yeah, since John Abraham.
Easy.
I mean, he would be the number two behind Jesse Bates as far as the best player on our defense, like right as soon as he steps in the building. By the way, speaking of the Falcons, a couple of things. Now, if you guys hit us up on Twitter and on the text line, Chris and I was talking to Oren about it. I don't know who this guy is. I don't know what he's got, like 6,000 followers somewhere in New England. He had a tweet, never heard of the dude, so consider the source, that the Patriots were calling the Falcons sniffing around about Kyle Pitts.
Please.
Now again, as Chris always says, if it's like my mom's basement.com, I don't know what the dude is, but
well, there's just a lot of stuff out there right now. We look at all of it. Some of it we talk about, some we don't.
Right. But we try to assess the validity of it, but we at least but a lot of guys came to us asking the question. One piece of information we got from a guy we totally trust is Steve Wickety Wickety Weiss from NFL Network. Steve was on earlier, and we're going to replay that conversation for you later in the week if you missed it. But Steve thinks somebody will not get the quarterback they're looking for through free agency or perhaps through maybe the draft. Or whatever trade, he feels we can still get someone to take Kirk Cousins off our roster and at least get some of that money off the books.
I kind of agree with him here. I know it's hard and far-fetched to believe and see. I just don't think there are enough landing spots for the guys that are available. And I do believe that Cousins is better than a lot of them. And if teams believe that too, Mike, and you said it, this is why he went to the Super Bowl and did that reclamation project, right? Hey, look at me. I'm fine. Yeah. Look at my arm, man. I can move it. Look at there. Everything's cool.
I didn't forget how to play quarterback.
That's why he did that. And if teams believe in that, and they believe like I do, that he's better than 9 or at least 8 of the guys that are potentially free agents, okay, then you make a move.
Now, again, we love Steve, and if Steve says it, I'll put some stock certainly into it because he knows what he's doing. But we've had other guys on, cap experts have said that other teams would just simply wait for us to just cut Cousins because no one is going to take on that salary when you can basically get the Falcons to pay for him to play for you. And provided you can, you know, then you can do a, your own little bidding war like the Steelers did for Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Like $1.2 million or whatever.
The thing that, Carl, you and I real quick talked about when Mike was out on Friday is the Stafford move and why that was so big. Because him going back to L.A. created two extra chairs, so to speak, in this musical chair. So now the Giants and the Raiders need a plan B. Could either of that be Kirk?
Yeah, and that's why, and again, unless they're just hell-bent on drafting their guy, okay? And here's the other part about this. Even if they do, I still think these teams want a vet in the room.
Right. So even if you draft like a Jackson Dart or a Quinn Ewers or whoever, like the second tier of quarterbacks, you'd have, even though the fans want to see the rookie, you'd have a guy like Cousins in there.
But Kirk could also find himself in a similar position he found himself in here. Let's just say it's Jackson Dart. He goes and he's the third quarterback taken off the board. That team also says Dart is really good, but he's not ready. We need a guy that's ready right now. He could find himself in a very similar situation if he's willing to go do that, Mike. And you said this. We keep leaving out the biggest part of this whole equation. He's got no trade.
He has to sign off on it. So if it's a destination he doesn't feel, then perhaps the thing is stuck, and then the Falcons just wind up cutting him, and it's a post-June 10th. I mean, we want to get him out of here, as we said. It's untenable. A lot of our audience doesn't – I get it. I mean, you think of it, oh, he's a great backup. He made the team look like a bunch of knuckleheads for not knowing what his status was. And then, you know, he told you that he was healthy, healthy, healthy. Then as soon as he gets a microphone in front of him at the Super Bowl, he's, oh, no, I was banged up. So to me, that don't wash. That's not a guy you want in the room or in the building.
We're going to see where it goes. Make sure you're here tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day, because that's where we are with this NFL offseason. So many things are going to be happening. Oren, let's get out of the way, man, and clear our throat. All of our interviews online at Odyssey.com. We got John Fricke coming up at 7 o'clock, man. Make sure you stick around.
Hopping mad about something.
I'm sure he is. It's good to hear John back on. By the way, tomorrow we're at State Farm. We'll be doing the show down there. And then we're hanging out for 92.9 The Game Night. Should be a fun afternoon and certainly a fun evening. Hawks taking on the Pacers. And if you're down there, man, stop us. Say hello. We'd love to get a chance to meet you tomorrow at State Farm Arena. And all the 92.9 The Game personalities will be down there. So you'll get a chance to see everybody. Hey, tomorrow on the show, Lauren Williams, while we're down there, is going to stop to talk about the Hawks with us. Also, Rusty Manziel, Mike's going to stop by the show tomorrow as well. We're chasing down some other guests, man, as football news continues to hit. So make sure you're here at 2 o'clock. Big O, great job behind the glass. Chris Stitches, executive producer. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, talked a lot about the dogs in the draft and where they're going to go. A story that I believe the AJC had, Ian Rappaport, picked up on it. Unbelievable pre-combine story. Defensive tackle and big man Zeke Biggers for the Yellow Jackets. He really impressed in the East-West Shrine Bowl and in India at the combine. Well, the word is he had to have an emergency appendectomy 2 weeks before the All-Star game down there in Mobile. He was cleared, but the doctors told him competing would be a challenge. This guy did it and thrived. That's the kind of stuff personal people love. He's tough. He put the work in, and he's a bad AE. So good luck, man, to Zeke Biggers from Tech.
All right. This is interesting. And maybe we'll dive in a little bit more tomorrow, Mike. The Hall of Fame announces that no longer will players be on the era committee ballots in perpetuity.
Oh.
Candidates must receive at least 5 of the 16 votes to be eligible again in 3 years. If not, they must wait at least 6 years for consideration. Now, I know this may be confusing to somebody that's listening. You're going to Baseball Hall of Fame, already have an issue with it. But bottom line is, in other words, if Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens or Sammy Sosa, some of the guys, Mike, we just talked about yesterday when we had our conversation about Pete Rose, don't receive at least 5 votes of the 16 votes in December, they're not guaranteed to be on a future ballot, which means their chances go completely away. Mm. Hall of Fame announcing this, as Bob Nightingale's reporting this. They are changing how this goes down. And by the way, there's no guarantee any of those guys get in.
Ooh.
Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your fans.
If you don't.
Tu es très stupide. Tout d'abord, excellent travail cette saison, mon ami.
Good French.